Hello, Lions Nation. This is First Bite, the preview podcast from Pride of Detroit. If you're listening to us, maybe you're familiar with the Pride of Detroit PODcast, our usual longer issues after every game. But we're also going to be doing these every week, which is basically your preview podcast. We're going to be previewing the Detroit Lions opponent for the week. We're going to be talking about injuries. We're going to be getting you ready for the game. And we're going to keep doing this every week along with Pride of Detroit PODcast. Joining me, my erstwhile companion in all things weird and fun here at Pride of Detroit, Ryan Matthews at Ryan_POD.
So happy to be here, Chris.
You like this?
I love it.
Do you like it? Do you like that?
You know what? This week, I cannot like that. I can only love
it.
I can only love it.
I am Chris Lemieux at Detroit Southern on Twitter, and this week we are previewing Washington. They're coming to town. This is game number two of the Lions homestand.
Game number three of the Lions homestand. Yeah, game number three of the Lions homestand. We had the Eagles at home.
You're right. Yeah. We don't need to impress upon how dumb I can be sometimes. But let's get right to the injury report, shall we?
Yeah, let's talk about some injuries.
Yeah, so right away, still have the four guys out the Lions need, and they're not getting. Eric Ebron, DeAndre Levy, Haloti Ngata, and Theo Riddick. And these have been the four that have been killing the Lions like no other. You know, Ngata, I think they are saying he's going to be out like 2 to 3 weeks. I think we're on track for that. He'll probably come back around the time of, say, like week... Let's see right now. Probably like week 8, maybe week 9 or so.
Yeah. So, I mean, if Ngata is out, and it looks like he will be out, week 8 might be a chance for him to come back. Week 9 seems like maybe the target date. And if that doesn't happen, then maybe they're just being a little bit overly cautious with him, and they'll keep him out through the bye week and he'll see the other side of the regular season.
Yeah. And I think what you lose on the defensive line without him is just some veteran leadership, really. Like, I mean, but at the same time too, between Ezekiel Ansah coming back, he's not at full strength yet. Losing Ngata does kind of put you in a hole as far as playmakers too. Ngata always would be the guy that you'd really rely on to get penetration, which, to be honest though, with this Detroit Lions line, ain't getting a lot of penetration. Ain't really pressuring the quarterback that much. Just not doing it.
No, it's not really happening. And we even saw it last week with A'shaun Robinson being thrust into a larger role. It's just, it might be a little bit too early for him. And the Lions, it was perceived that one of their strengths coming into the season was their defensive line depth. And the whole defense hasn't been too good.
Yeah, and I mean, Levy's out. We kind of knew that. We talked at length on the longer podcasts about linebackers. Something to keep an eye on, though, for this week, Tahir Whitehead was marked with an abdomen injury on Thursday practice. He's going to be limited. Obviously, this is coming out before we have the full game status out, but look for him to probably be marked questionable for Sunday.
Yeah, Whitehead has done... He's done the most that he could do. I mean, don't you agree? I think that just with the overall lack of depth at the linebacker position, maybe Tahir Whitehead, if he had a Josh Bynes, who still hasn't shown up, unfortunately, or a DeAndre Levy on either side of him, maybe that masked some of his deficiencies. But with Levy being out, with Thurston Armbrister being in, and Xavier Gooden, and, you know, Antoine Williams, it's been really tough on Whitehead, I think. So...
Absolutely. Absolutely. Also keep in mind here for the Lions. I mean, I think obviously the biggest no show, the biggest impact is not having Theo Riddick right now.
It hurts.
And probably, well, Eric Ebron, I'd probably put up there too. And not helping either is that Corey Robinson wasn't in practice. He kind of came out of nowhere. He wasn't on the injury report a couple days ago. He's been kind of serving in that tight end slot on blocking assignments at times.
Sure. Yeah. When they go big up front, they go with six offensive linemen.
Yep. Or when they do that, like, Tate jet sweep out of the back, like, yeah.
Right, yeah. So it kind of kills the possibilities of that happening if Robinson does end up missing the game. I'm not too sure if there's anybody who can fill that kind of role. You said the team really misses Riddick. I totally agree. And then you know, you said Eric Ebron. They miss Eric Ebron maybe just as much, if not more. And I would agree with that because they lack that versatility with having a guy on the line who can move like a wide receiver and get off the line. And that just goes to show, you know, if you look at Stafford's first couple of weeks when he had Riddick and he had Ebron at his disposal, those guys were targeted heavily.
Yeah, one last note here on the Lions side injury report. Dwayne Washington is back in practice. He's been limited with that ankle injury, but I think the Lions could probably hope to get him this week.
Hallelujah, right?
Exactly. Like, I think Justin Forsett will adapt this offense eventually, but like, you still want that depth right now because I don't know if you can keep just giving Zach Center the majority of these runs.
I think I would agree with you. He looked fine. Don't get me wrong. Okay. He looked okay against the Rams. I mean, he put up the same numbers as Todd Gurley, so he just says he has to be just as good, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so on Washington's side, they're actually fairly banged up too, but it's just I'm not as familiar with a couple of these positions. Cullen Jenkins showed up on the injury report, but he's not injured though. But they are still missing three guys from practice. Josh Dotson, their rookie wide receiver, and then DeSean Jackson, probably their biggest wide receiver threat. Both of them have been out for practice for the last couple of days. Jackson with a shoulder injury, Dotson with his Achilles. So that's a couple of weapons you're taking away there from our good friend Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, friend of the podcast,
But probably one more than that on his receiver ends is Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed did practice on Wednesday in limited capacity, but he was downgraded to no practice on Thursday. Obviously, again, you might be listening to this before the game stats has come out. That's probably a clear sign that the concussion protocol isn't going well for Jordan Reed. So they could be without probably one of the better you do the fantasy stuff. I think Jordan Reed's probably one of the top tight ends out there right now.
Oh, sure. I think when we did our list cast, I think I had him at number three or number four.
You did.
Among all of the tight ends.
Top five. Yeah. So that all makes a difference. Although, as we're going to get into a little later, I don't know if that's really going to make too much of a difference given this Lions defense.
Plug and play. Plug and play.
Plug and play, man.
They'll start throwing the ball to Niles Paul, and he'll have a career day.
Oh, man.
But,
yeah.
You know, just to kind of put some of those injuries in perspective, Jordan Reed leads the team in targets this year with 46, mm-hmm. and DeSean Jackson is third in the team in targets with 41. So those are two huge components of their offense that potentially might miss the game, and I really do think that Jordan Reed is probably a long shot to play. Last week, when he was finally ruled out with the concussion stuff on Sunday, Washington had to say on Sunday that, well, we're not ready to rule him out for next week's game. Why do you even need to say that? So it doesn't look good for Jordan Reed. So both teams, some key injuries to a couple of offensive weapons for sure.
And I guess what I would ask about that to you is that, I mean, given what we know of the Lions defense and how banged up the Lions defense is, though, does that at all slow down or disadvantage Washington here by not having your top wide receiver and your top tight end? I mean, obviously, most rational universes, yes, losing that talent does mean something, but I mean, we just saw Case Keenum put up 19 consecutive passes on this Lions defense.
Yeah, I don't think it changes a whole lot. And for that reason alone, Chris, I totally agree with you. You saw Kenny Britt and Case Keenum just have a field day with the Lions.
Kenny Britt. And then Ken White, who, like, you know, a couple weeks ago with the Bears had like a field day.
Yeah, Eddie Royal with a field day.
Eddie Royal.
Eddie Royal had the time of his life. So, and Brian Hoyer had quite the day too. So, I mean, I think our friend of the podcast, Kirk Cousins, might have his way with the Lions as well.
Well, I think we should probably take a little bit of a break here, and then maybe when we regroup, we can talk about just how good is Kirk Cousins and how, you know, what to really expect in top matchups against the Lions. We want to find out where it's going to be going with this game. And we're just going to get you, like, you know, we're going to preview the top matchups for this game and give you our thoughts on where we think this game is going to go. So stick around. We'll be right back. All right, back at it again here on First Bite, the Pride of Detroit podcast preview edition. And we're getting you ready here for Detroit, Washington. Let's talk about some of the big matchups we're going to see on Sunday. And I think there's none bigger right now than the entire defense versus Kirk Cousins. You like that. Kirk, you like that, Cousins. Has that thing gotten played out? Please tell me the whole you like that thing has played out.
Probably.
I think the memes played out. Memes have shelf life to them.
They do. And especially short shelf lives today. But
well, especially one that was like, you like that, which got picked up by, like, you know, mainstream people who otherwise have, like, no good sense of what humor is about them.
Right.
They accelerate it.
I was going to say, I think the only meme that's still running strong and still alive will always be Crying Jordan. It'll never die.
There's a couple others, but we're getting way off topic talking about that. But Kirk Cousins,
what we do.
Yeah. 12th in DYAR on the season, 12th in DVOA, 247 DYAR, 4.8% DVOA. You know, coming in by comparison, Matt Stafford's at about 8-9 for DYAR, DVOA. I don't know if I'm buying in on Kirk Cousins. I'm just not. Like, I know we have an article coming out on Friday, 5 questions with Hogs Haven about Kirk Cousins. They seem to like him. They gave us a lot of talk about contract, because obviously Kirk Cousins eschewed signing. I mean, the Washington and Cousins didn't really see eye to eye in their contract talks. And I don't know, like, how do you feel about him so far? Because, like, okay, he'll make some nice throws, but then he'll just make bizarre decisions to end a game. And it's almost kind of like a little bit of looking at the lens of Matt Stafford, like, say, a couple of years ago.
Yeah, there are times where it seems that he tends to get a little bit careless with the ball at times. He's not the most accurate quarterback all the time, which is kind of a step away from where he was last year. Last year, he was one of the most accurate quarterbacks in all of football. And I just didn't think that that was sustainable. I didn't think that was the real Kirk Cousins. And it's kind of showing up this year, you know, 9 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. But
no, I always thought that was kind of like a Nick Foles situation. You know, a couple of years ago, Nick Foles was one of the most efficient quarterbacks in the league. But you looked at how he was getting some of those balls there, and it's like a wonder he wasn't getting picked off.
Sure, just some quarterback luck, right? Hashtag quarterback luck. Yeah.
That happens. That absolutely happens in the league. You can have statistical outliers like that.
It does. And, you know, say what you want about Kirk Cousins, though, and kind of the weapons that he has available to him. I think you have to kind of look at the offense as a whole, though, because I was just going to finish up this one point about Kirk Cousins, is that he, say what you want about the offense as a whole, but I still think Kirk Cousins is going to have quite the day against the Lions defense. I'm just trying to keep this contained in a vacuum here. Against the Lions, do I think Kirk Cousins will be successful? Yes, absolutely.
I was just going to say there, too, like, we talked last segment about injuries. We talked about, okay, he's not going to have Jordan. He might not have Jordan Reed. He might not have DeSean Jackson. That's not going to matter against this Lions defense. And I'm sorry, just not. Like, we've been seeing too much about, like, wide open receivers. Anyone can get wide open over the middle against the Lions. And we even said it, I think, on the podcast. We were talking about, you know, it's going to be about offense versus offense. I think I'm going to point out, like, this is probably going to turn into some awful shootout. If it is close at all, it's going to be because both these teams are just going to score, and they're just going to score a lot, because there's not a defense that's going to stop. You know, Matt Stafford's playing at a phenomenal level. I don't think there's many defenses out there that can stop him when he starts getting humming. But at the same time, too, like, there's not a lot that this defense, that the Lions defense can do to stop even a middling quarterback like Kirk Cousins.
It very well could. It very well could turn into a shootout. And We'll get into how we think the game's going to go a little bit later on, but you want to talk about this Washington offense?
Yeah, so besides Kirk Cousins, the other threat to this Lions defense is the run game. Why don't you take it away on the run game? I admit I haven't really brushed up too much on what they have.
Yeah, sure. So Washington is ninth in DVOA overall for their offense. Their passing attack is at 14th with Kirk Cousins, but their rushing attack is fourth in DVOA, which is mighty impressive considering the running backs that they have on their roster. I wasn't a big fan of Matt Jones last year when, you know, the Alfred Morris experiment kind of went sour. I don't think he's that talented of a running back. He's a young running back. They also have Chris Thompson back there who handles some of the workload. But you can't really argue with the numbers. Matt Jones has been a pretty good running back. 433 yards through six games on only 89 attempts, though. He's averaging almost 5 yards per carry, which is impressive.
And just to go back to our favorite site, Football Outsiders, 118 DYAR. That is good for fourth in the league. The people above him, David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, and LaShawn McCoy.
Those are three mighty good running backs, if I do say so myself, especially LaShawn McCoy.
Especially Shady. Yeah, shout out Alex.
But and the thing is, though, is that it's not just Matt Jones getting it done. Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned Chris Thompson, only 26 carries for 120 yards. I mean, that's over 4.5 yards a carry, and he's much more effective. He's their go-to guy in probably third down situations with his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. He has 19 targets as opposed to Matt Jones, who only has 8 targets on the year. So those two guys, I think, could... Let me say this. Last week, everybody was so concerned about Todd Gurley, and I think the Rams went away from the rushing attack early on in the game just because they found out, well, the Lions can't guard anybody in pass coverage, so it's going to be the Case Keenum and Kenny Britt show. Now, you know, with that being said, though, this week could prove to be disastrous for Washington's ability to just run the football at will.
Do you think they're going to fall into that same trap that the Rams fell into? That it's like, okay, we're going to start the game establishing the run game. Okay, Matt Jones carving them up, but, you know, damn, we can just have Kirk Cousins throw all day. Let's just do that. And then that opens them up to probably a late game situation again where we see someone in the Lions secondary making a play that completely changes the game.
Maybe. We talked about the Kirk Cousins and his inability to, you know, stay good throughout a game, right? We can probably count on Kirk Cousins making at least one mistake. And if he does make a mistake at a critical time, it very well could end up like you just mentioned.
And yeah, and that's like, say what you want about the Lions defense not stopping anyone, but if you take a shot deep and challenge some of these members in the secondary, they will make a play on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially Darius Slay, which I don't know where Darius Slay is going to be this week, to be honest. He might not. He might be freelancing. If they're down to Sean Jackson, he might be freelancing out there. We'll have to see. But let's talk about Lions. So that's the state of the Lions facing the Washington offense, which is abysmal. But the key to the game is probably going to be what can Washington do to slow down Matt Stafford in the offense. And I think you really can't talk about this defense without bringing up one big name, and that's Josh Norman. How do we feel about him?
I think it depends on which actor, which role he's playing this week. I'd like to know which Hollywood movie role he's playing this week. Josh Norman, I think that he's been a little bit better than some people have given him credit for, Alex. But with that being said, do I think that the Lions will still kind of have their way with Washington's defense no matter where Josh Norman is on the field, who he's lined up on? The Lions have weapons still without Eric Ebron and without Theo Riddick. We saw that against the against the Rams defense, who are from Los Angeles now. I mean, what do you think, Chris?
This is a hard one to really get out to, but I actually don't think Josh Norman's going to have, like, he will have an impact in the game because he's Josh Norman. He's one of the best corners in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he's going to have too much of an impact just because, look, the Lions don't have Theo Riddick and Eric Ebron, but they still have three wide receivers that are all really good. And not one of them is a clear, and not Jones or Tate. Neither of them is a clear cut number one. Stafford can throw to either one of them. So all he could probably do all day is like, okay, where is Josh Norman? Oh, he's over there. Okay. He's on Jones this time. Okay. Then I'm going to target Tate.
Yeah. Or I'm going to target Bolden. Yeah.
Yeah. Bolden for short down yardage too. Like this is something that the Lions offense is built so that it probably lessens the impact of a top corner, because there's no such thing as taking away your top weapon in this offense. Yeah. Unless, of course, the other corner plays out of his mind, too, which, I mean, yeah.
Well, I mean, if that happens, then the Lions are just doomed, right?
Right. Now, up front, let's talk about penetration. I'm not even going to talk about what Washington has in run defense, because there's really, I mean, look, you're getting Dwayne Washington back. Congratulations. Fantastic. But this game is going to live and die on the shoulders of Matt Stafford.
It most likely will. But with that being said, Washington's slightly below average in defensive DVOA. Their pass defense is at 11th. Their rush defense, 31st in the league. Not very good at stopping the run at all. Very bad. So hopefully the Lions can have somebody who can step up and they can, you know, rattle off some yardage.
Yeah, and look, they run in the 3-4. So at least up front, with this offensive line, which, give them credit, this offensive line is starting to really gel pretty well. But I don't know. I think up front, you can probably beat a couple of their defensive ends. I think, like, just looking at a lot of this talent, they have a lot of good talent against pass, in defending against pass and in coverage, against the pass and in coverage. But I don't know, dude. I just don't see a day where you can put too much on Dwayne Washington and Zach Zenner and hope to win the day. But I think it'll help the offense still roll, because what's going to happen is you're at least going to be able to pick up some of those first downs. Like, look at what we see with the Lions offense. Sometimes they just inexplicably struggle to really get going and they go three and out. You know, some drives they do fine, some drives they just don't. But a lot of that comes because, like, they're running on the ground and not getting anything, or they're getting tackled for loss, puts them behind the eight ball, if you will. I don't think you're going to have as much of a trouble there. So, strange is enough to say it, I'm kind of looking for a decent team out of this Lions offense. Probably enough that might be the difference in this game.
If the Lions want to win, it better be the difference in the game, for sure. I think that, you know, you brought up that Washington can generate some pressure up front. They have Ryan Kerrigan. He's got 4.5 sacks on the year. And, you know, with Josh Norman in pass coverage, I'm trying to think, they also have, I'm blanking on his name right now, but Trent Murphy is another player who has 5 sacks on the year. So they have guys that can generate pressure, especially off the edge. With that being said, though, with Washington being so bad against the run, I think that Jim Bob Cooter is going to try to take advantage of that. I think that he's going to try to set up short yardage situations on either second or third down just to try to keep the offense moving, so there aren't so many three and outs. I think that if you can get 3 or 4 yards on first down and make it a 2nd and 7 or a 2nd and 6 or a 2nd and 5, it'll keep these drives going longer for the Lions, because what you definitely don't want to happen is you don't want Washington out there running the ball at 4 or 5 yards a clip and just keeping that defense on the field. I really think that this game could go both ways. It could either be a shootout or it could be a game of possession where one team dominates the ball.
Lions have had kind of a slight edge in possession in the last couple of games, if I recall correctly. I remember the Rams ones off the top of my head. Don't remember the Eagles one, but they've been doing better in time of possession. So I think that'll help too. So we're coming up on the end here on First Bite. So what else do you see? Like, let's kind of consolidate our keys and just tell the people what we see. So we see a shootout. We see Matt Stafford and probably the run game as probably big for the Lions, and a lot for the defense to really just kind of get its act together. And Kirk Cousins will give you a few opportunities to make some plays and just to try to capitalize that. Cause I think if you make a couple plays there, you can really start to turn this, you know, the identity of your defense around and really give yourself some confidence, at least on that day. So where do you see this game going?
I totally agree with you. I think that's probably the biggest point to take away. And I know it's probably a cliche that gets overstated far too often, but turnovers really change the complexity of any game. And Kirk Cousins has the ability to make some mistakes, like you mentioned. And you just really hope that the Lions offense stays perfect or damn near perfect, because if it doesn't, I think it could be a long, ugly day for the defense as Washington just runs and runs and runs the football, especially if Jordan Reed and DeSean Jackson are no-shows. I think that Washington will make it a point of emphasis to run the football, and they'll run it a lot, and they'll run it often, and they'll run it for big gains, because this team is missing Haloti Ngata, and that hurts, and they're missing DeAndre Levy, and that hurts. That hurts their ability to stop the run.
Yeah, and Ezekiel Ansah isn't 100% right now, I would think. I would also think, too, you want to keep the offense in it, too, because, I mean, this Ford Field crowd has been very loud and very strong, even though I know this team was floundering for a while, but they've been incredibly loud. We've seen how many penalties taken by the opposite team on false starts. Like, so you want to do everything you can to keep the crowd in it, because they will help you out.
Oh, sure. Yeah. The Lions are 2-1 at home, so I think it has something to do with it. I think it has something to do with playing at home. I think that at the end of the day, when it comes to what I think the outcome of the game will be, I think Stafford is just a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins. And sometimes it's as easy as, you know, just saying one quarterback is better than the other. So I think that's how the game is going to go. And considering that neither defense is exactly stellar, the Lions being probably the worst in the league, and Washington's being slightly below average, I totally agree with your assessment of a shootout, and I definitely think that Stafford can win another game for the Lions, and he's gonna need to.
All right, I think that's about it here for First Bite, so we're getting out of here. Again, I'm Chris Lemieux on Twitter, at Detroit Southern. Ryan Matthews, my boy here, at Ryan_POD. Find us on iTunes and give us a like there. You know, give us a good rating and leave us some comments if you want. We will shout you out, and just subscribe. Absolutely subscribe. You will get this. You will get the main Pride Detroit podcast. You will get Football Fights, everything we will bring to you. But we're out of here for right now, and we'll see you after Sunday, after Washington and Detroit meet in Ford Field. So stay frosty out there, folks.